So I was going to do a very brief review of last week, if you just want to listen for a couple seconds. These are just some of the points. In review, man cannot direct his own steps. Man needs to fear the Lord to gain the instruction of wisdom. The wisdom of God is pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, full of good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And wisdom beckons us. God wants us to have wisdom so we can live according to his purpose. So that was last week in a nutshell. Now we're going to crack another nut. First thing we're going to look at is in John 16. Verse 12, Jesus talking to his disciples. He says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. So here we see that principle about the Holy Spirit coming and hearing God directing the Holy Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit within us, that gift, directs us. And you might remember it in days past, the great principle, God's Spirit, which is his creation in you, now teaches your spirit and it becomes manifested in the senses realm as you act. Did I get that right? Most of it, yeah. That's the basis of it anyway. So, Jesus earlier in the same day, in chapter 14, verse 26, said, But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said to you. So the Holy Spirit that God gives us, remember we touched on that last week when Jesus Christ died and Holy Spirit came. It helps, it encourages, it guides, it helps us remember. That's what enables us to be witnesses of Christ. And being witnesses of Christ is certainly a purpose of God. Next, these are little bullet points really. Next one is God is at work within us. Philippians 2:13. This is all in light of wisdom. That is my perpetual motion machine. You hear it? I have two of them. One is called a washer, and one is called a dryer. Who's there? Can you read it? I know you know it by heart.
To what?
13.
For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure.
So that should stop us in our tracks. It's God that works in you. That's massive. Like, wrap your head around that one. God works in us. Unbelievable. Well, it's believable, but whew, that's big. Something to really think about. And it's to will and to do of his good pleasure. He wants us to will and do his good pleasure. Colossians 1. We read, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, or fully pleasing. Walk worthy unto the Lord, fully pleasing. We want to fully please him. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So he works within us, and it's not for the sake of wisdom itself. It's for the purposes of God, for pleasing God. And you know, we can think about it in light, you know, there are practical applications. So is it important, is your everyday life important to God? Yes. And it should be, and we should realize that. Can he give wisdom concerning that? Yes. Are the big decisions or major decisions or not knowing how to take care of somebody or how to take care of something, does that matter to God? Yes. And he can give wisdom in those situations too. We all know that we, there's the wisdom of the written word, and then there's the wisdom by revelation. And how the Spirit of God works within us, we all know that too. So we keep that in mind in light of wisdom, that He is at work within us to will and to do of His good pleasure. And we want to be fully pleasing to Him. Another thing is we should look for wisdom in a posture of humility. Not, oh yeah, well, I know what I'm doing. You know, well, God works with me, so what do you want to know? You know, I've run across that before sometimes. It's not right. That's all. We need to have a posture of humility. We actually have to do the work of reverencing the Lord in order to have that wisdom, right? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We saw that several times last week. So we have to do the work of reverencing the Lord. Primarily, we reverence the Lord in our relationship with Him by understanding His word and in our prayer life. We reverence Him. He gives us the wisdom. We have the beginning of wisdom. And I listened to a teaching Sam did, and he gave an example and cracked me up. And I changed it a little bit, but see, he said that he had heard this once, and it really made a point in his brain. Apparently, he and I think similarly, because it really made a point in my brain. Peter, if I tell you, Peter, I need you to go to the store for me before fellowship, and I want you to get bread, eggs, and milk, and I write down on a piece of paper, bread, eggs, and milk, right? And then you go to the store, and you come back with Cheetos, Fritos, and Pepsi. Do you think next time I send you to the store, I'm going to give you a verbal list or a written list? Again, a written list. Point being, there's a lot written in God's word that we can already have for wisdom. And we need to do the work of knowing that, reverencing the Lord, and then the wisdom follows. So whether it be written wisdom or revelation, it follows. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We don't want to be like Balaam. Okay, Balaam was once stubborn, old codger. And God wanted to help his people, and Balaam would not do it. He wouldn't obey. And it's a great record to read regarding the greatness of God, because God, even if you ignore the grocery list, God can still give wisdom. That's another thing, because He is God, and He wants His purposes accomplished, and He wants His people blessed. And like with Balaam, Balaam was a nutcase, okay? Sorry, God, but he was. And so God, in order to get through to Balaam, had one ass talk to the other ass. Right? That's what happened. But that's God's mercy and grace. You know, it's easily entreated. It's pure. All the things we read about wisdom, God's wisdom is incredible, and He wants us to have it. I think if we can really get that through our head, I'm not saying nobody has it, but I mean, if we really think on that, then we will just have a greatness of an understanding of His heart and His kindness to His people, and be able to actually do of His will. So, Psalm 119. We're still on this posture of humility. Psalm 119, verse 133. Remember, it's not in the man that walketh to direct his own steps. We read that last week. This verse says, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over thee. It's order my steps in thy word. In other words, this is a prayer here that I could line myself up with the truth of the word. That would be wonderful, right? If we did that all the time, that'd be good. Proverbs 3. Some of these verses are very familiar, and that's good. It's very good that they're very familiar. Proverbs 3. And again, we're looking at this because we will look at this section again later from a different slant or angle or perspective. But here we're looking at it in the posture of humility. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So, again, we need to learn not to lean onto our own understanding. When we lean onto our own understanding, it quenches the spirit. Like when you read that verse in 1 Thessalonians 5 that talks about quench not the spirit, the entire context is how to walk in love and how to walk in light of the hope. If we lean to our own understanding in how to walk, we're going to quench the Spirit. We need to lean unto the Holy Spirit. He's sent to help us. He would lead us into all truth. He would help us remember. He would guide us. You know, He's sent, Holy Spirit, it is sent to us to help us. We lean on that and God's goodness, not on this. What we do with this is the work of reverencing the Lord. Don't be wise in our own eyes. Next one, we need to have an awareness of His presence in regard to wisdom. We have to be sensitive to God's presence in us and practice the presence of Him. God is not fellowship. God is not a specific prayer. God is not, you know, Tuesday going to help somebody. He's our life. And we practice His presence all the time. Psalm 46. And verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Boom. Needs no explanation. 2 Chronicles 16:9. I love the mind picture of this, as you all do, I'm sure. Verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro. He wants us taken care of. He wants to bless us. That, you know, even in the Old Testament, He liked those guys too. Colossians 1. Going all over today. Well, I think it's interesting when we look at some of the Old Testament stuff and then go to the New Testament, you know, on the other side of the cross and the resurrection. Here we are with Spirit in us before. Maybe it was Spirit upon some. And yet God's love and His kindness and His graciousness and His want and His desire to help His people and to take care of mankind is throughout. He changes not. He doesn't change. So in Colossians, I have to get to it. Colossians 1, verse 27. Oh, no, that's not right. Oh, that's because I'm in Philippians.
It's a good verse.
It's a good verse. Colossians 1, 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's in us and with us to will and to do of His good pleasure. He never leaves us alone. He's a very present help. He's constantly looking to bless and help. And go back to Proverbs 3 again, please. And we're going to look at Proverbs 3, 5 through 7 in a little different light, from the angle of being aware of His presence. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. This is a relationship with God. This is not, you've heard it said, you know, God's not a vending machine. You don't put in a scripture and pull out your result. It doesn't work that way. You don't tell God what to do. It's a relationship, and we need to be very sensitive to His presence in us, where we acknowledge Him all throughout the day, no matter what we're doing. I know you get busy at work and you have to do stuff, but nevertheless, I mean, Wesley was leaving here the other day and he goes, I need God's help. You know, we need to be like that all the time, all throughout the day. It's a relationship with God. And we don't have to be just right for God to do stuff for us, and we don't have to like prove to Him that we're so smart, because we're not. You know, He's chosen the foolish things to confound the wise. That's us. So We need to be very aware of his presence. He's, I don't know, he just loves us more than we can even fathom. Next, we need to have confidence in him. Go to Philippians 2, please. Philippians 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now here we see that Paul's exhorting them to obey even when he's not there. And now work out your own salvation, okay? This is not getting born again salvation. This is certain things that come up in life, situations, et cetera, et cetera. Work it out. You obeyed in my presence, now obey when I'm gone. Because it is your confidence toward God, not your confidence towards Paul being there, or a leader being there, or your husband being there, or your wife being there, or your dear friend being there. Our confidence is toward him. So even in the absence of others, we need to remember that and to make our confidence and our obedience toward him. And our obedience toward him, again, is the reverence of the Lord. So the fear of the Lord. Without murmurings. We do things without murmurings, which is secret debate in your head. Like, oh, I'm doing the right thing, but is this really? I don't know. I don't think it's really good. And then for murmurings, and the disputings is deliberating if it's true or not. Well, I know God said you did this, but on the other hand, you know, last time I did it, this is what happened. Can't do that. No murmurings and disputings. Philippians 1:6. This is a great assurance. Being confident. Remember, we have confidence in him. Being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. He's begun that good work and he will perform it. We can have that confidence. I got one hair that's stray on my nose. It keeps tickling. He's begun a good work. Go to Ephesians 3, please. Verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent or for the purpose that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. The manifold wisdom of God in the whole plan of redemption. Wow. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. We have no reason not to have confidence in God. None whatsoever. He so put that plan of redemption in place that none of the princes of the world knew, or they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. You know, God's purposes are real, and he does have them come to pass. It's yea and amen. Not a word falls to the ground. The manifold wisdom of God means having great variety. Great variety in the manifold wisdom of God, which I kind of thought about Paul. Like one time Paul, when he was in Philippi, right? You all remember this, and he took a beating, got put in jail. And he could have said, hey, I'm a Roman, you can't beat me up, this is illegal, but he didn't. He took the beat and he got put in jail. There was an earthquake, the jailer came in, the jailer and all his household got born again, and that was the beginning of the church of Philippi, right? Another time, Paul was supposed to take a beating and he said, oh no, I'm not doing that, nope, it's illegal, I'm a Roman. Manifold wisdom of God. Nobody wants to take a beating, but apparently he was directed by God to endure through that and look at the outcome. So God's wisdom is variegated, it's manifold, and no one situation is the same. Or maybe several situations are the same. We don't know. He does. Next is to trust the character of God, that he is faithful. And we need to say yes to what the Holy Spirit teaches us as God brings us along. No doubtful disputations, no back and forth. We need to say yes to what the Holy Spirit teaches us as God brings us along. 1 Thessalonians. 5:24. 24. Faithful is he that calls you, who also will do it. Amen. Hebrews 10. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Brings to mind James, right? Wavering in James. We'll look at that later. For he is faithful that promised. No arguing there. He is faithful that promised, and we need to trust the character of God that he is faithful. Another point is to watch and wait. We need to be patient with humble obedience. We watch and we wait. Go to Acts chapter 2, please. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one place, with one accord in one place." So they had seen Jesus go up. The angel said, "Don't tarry here." They went to Jerusalem. They prayed. And on the day of Pentecost, they were all with one accord in one place. They were obediently, patiently waiting for the promise of the Father. The word accord is two different words, made up of two words. It occurs 12 times in the New Testament. 10 of them are in the book of Acts, referring specifically to the new church, the beginning of the church. And the words mean are rush along and in unison. Rush along and in unison. I think it's hamathemadon, hamathemadon. But anyway, there they were waiting. I mean, they were waiting with intensity. It wasn't, oh, everybody's bouncing around the room, talking and visiting and that kind of thing. They were there expecting. We need to watch and wait with that. There's a lot to learn from the apostles and what happened on the day of Pentecost and up to then as far as they're waiting upon God. Can you imagine seeing your Savior taken up into heaven and an angel says, "Go wait for the promise of the Father"? I don't know. It's a little, maybe my battery's dead, but... What do you got on your... Has it been a couple hours already since he went up? How long are we supposed to wait? Right? Then they wake up 3 days later and like, nothing yet. No doubtful disputations up here. Patiently wait. We need to patiently watch and wait. Hebrews 10:35. Just remember, God's wisdom is not man's wisdom. That includes everything about God's wisdom, his timing, his choice of how to give it to you. You know, are you going to see fireworks, or are you going to hear a little something in your ear? Or are you going to know in the depth of your heart? It's his choice, but we watch and we wait with confidence in him and his faithfulness. And in chapter 10, verse 35, it says, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise." Mm-hmm. You know, don't let God's answer finally come and find you gone. Mm-hmm. We watch and we wait. We watch and we wait. And now I'd like to read to you, you can just listen if you want. I'm going to read James 1:2-8 out of the ESV. Okay. "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet the trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness," which is patience or endurance. "And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting," seeing that confidence coming in his faithfulness, the waiting. "For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." So I kind of, just in one little paragraph here, tried to take most of the points we just look at and just put it together into some sentences. So maybe it will flow in our minds as far as how we're supposed to walk in this wisdom. So our open-handed Father God desires to faithfully and generously give us wisdom. It's our job to humbly watch and wait with confidence in his faithfulness and his character in order that we might live according to his purposes. Not by our own wisdom, but directed by Holy Spirit. And therefore we please God. So that's what I wanted to share.